I'm going to read the gospel reading for today is found in St. John, the gospel according to St. John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. And there lay many invalids, blind and lame and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm making my way, someone else steps in down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well, and he took up his mat, and he began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath day. Bum, bum, bum. Amen. The gospel of Christ. Amen. And I just wanted to look at something this morning, and that there's a lot of people who are suffering from sickness, suffering from injury, suffering from some sort of lameness, whatever it may be. And they would even come to us and say, "Oh, please pray for me so that I would be well." But, there are some people, and I feel very bad for these people. There are some people that really don't want to be well. They have found that, their lifestyle, restricted as it is a comfortable lifestyle. If you're sick and your activity is limited, well, then society doesn't expect much from you, does it? And so, there are some people there, and I find it interesting that Jesus, when he sees this man, this is a great story. Because before Jerusalem was built, there was this fountain there, and it was actually used by the heathen nations long before Abraham came along and all of that. And there had been even before the Jews were there in Jerusalem, there was a tradition that one of the gods, which we would know as demons, would come down and splash around in the water. And if you could get into that water, if you were one of the first few, in the telling of this story, it looked like there was only the first one in the water got healing. But as we look back in history, actually there is recorded history of several people getting down into the water and receiving their healing. Amen. And so we don't know exactly what was going on. I do believe that in the building of the temple in Jerusalem by Solomon, that they definitely would not leave any vestige of some demon worship there right by the temple. And so what I believe is that it had been built up and decorated, and the pond was there just more or less for, whatever, like people have water ponds or lily ponds in their yards just for decoration. But it still held true that on an annual basis, the water would be troubled. What that means, I don't know. And the person who got down in there would be healed. So I think that it's kind of like the verse that says, "What men hath meant for evil, God has turned for good." And I think since this pool had a history of healing, a reputation of healing, I believe that when God took up residence there in the temple area, when the Shekinah glory of God filled the temple, that he just kind of decided to use this. Why would he do something like that? I have no idea. He's God. If you've got a problem with it, go ask him. All right? I don't know why he does things. He makes sea monsters for grins. All right? I don't know why he does some of the things that he does. And so when Jesus comes along, he sees this guy who's been laying there for 38 years. All right? And when I researched their tradition, sometimes the tradition says that the water would be troubled several times throughout the year. By biblical times, by the time that, you know, New Testament times, it was just once a year that the historians say that this is when this miracle would happen. But I find it interesting that this guy makes his way down to one of the five porches of this little pond, and he misses out on the healing, but he stays there the rest of the year. There's no effort on his part to better himself. There's no effort on his part to crawl over to take some classes there in the temple. It just seems, maybe I'm just being, you know, too hurtful, but it just seems to me that, you know, he has become complacent in his lifestyle. He has a broken lifestyle. We had a member of our family say that, oh, I'm broken. And it just broke my heart. No, you're not broken. We are not broken. We are in a process of God doing a miracle. It may seem like we're broken right now, but God doesn't have any broken kids. You know that, right? All right, don't let the devil tell you you're broken. You know, well, I just don't think right, or I just don't act right, or I just don't, you know, that, okay, you're going through something. God may be the only one that knows what you're going through, but God doesn't have any broken kids. Amen? You need to know that. You are in the process of either being healed or it's, you know, God is something that he's going to accomplish. At the same time, I don't know what God is doing or why God does things. All I know is God doesn't have any broken kids. But this guy just accepted the fact that he was broken. And he wasn't going to make an effort to do anything else. He could crawl around, according to what we're reading, he can pull himself around with his arms, but it seems that he was paralyzed, you know, like from the waist down type of a thing, so he couldn't get up and walk. Personally, if it were me and I really wanted to be, you know, healed, I would pick a spot right by the edge of the pool so that next time the water was troubled, I'd just roll over in my bed and poof, I'm in the pool. All right? I mean, to me, maybe there's something else going on here that God isn't telling us, but to me, it seems that this person seems to have accepted his brokenness. And when you do that, then you're a victim of circumstance, and because you're a victim of circumstance, you're not responsible for what is going on in your life. You are a victim. And I don't like that word victim. Amen. You might be attacked. The devil might be out there just beating the living fire out of you. But I don't see that as being a victim. I see that as, man, I'm fighting a good fight, and then he might be handing my backside to me right now. But I'm trusting that God's going to send reinforcements and all that good stuff. And ultimately, we're going to have the victory in this thing, whether we're dealing with a demon of alcohol or you name it, all right? I believe that God's ultimate goal for each one of his people is wholeness. Amen? We are here for a purpose. We are to reflect the glory of God. And I have in times of my life when I haven't been operating at 100%, I have purposed in myself that I'm not going to let people see in me this weakness as weakness on God's part. I might be going through something, and I won't deny that I'm going through it, but I will say this is what God is doing in my body right now, and I am walking in victory. Well, Pastor, it doesn't look like you're walking in victory. Well, that's all right. By faith, I'm calling those things what aren't as though they were, and I'm just having the faith that God is going to work this thing out in my life. But I refuse to receive the diagnosis that I am broken. Once you say that, once you surrender to that, then what's the motivation for you to try to do anything in your life? Amen? And so here's this guy, 38 years, just inches, just feet away from his deliverance, and for some reason in 38 years, he hasn't figured out how to get a little closer to that water. There's something wrong in this story. Okay? And I think that's the reason why Jesus says what he says. Do you notice what Jesus says here? Jesus comes up to the guy and he says, do you want to be made well? Okay? I find that very insightful. Do you want to be made well? Because Jesus recognized that, boy, this guy's been here a long time. Is he just going to have people come by every once in a while, drop me off some food to eat? You know, get a little drink, whatever. I just kind of sit here 24/7, 365 days out of the year, and people have pity on me and give me something to eat and something to drink. Whew, that's not living. Amen? That's not anything like what God has planned for his children. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And 38 years on your backside by a pool just with a whole head full of excuses isn't an abundant life. Amen? So Jesus comes and says, hey, do you want to be made whole? And you notice what the guy's response is. He didn't say yes. All right? He's telling Jesus why he's not whole. Do you want to be whole? Well, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm making my way, somebody else steps in ahead of me. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Like I said, if I had 38 years to think about it, you know, I would figure out some way to locate my dead, paralyzed body to the edge of that pool so that splish, splash, the waters, you know, I'd just roll over and right into that pool I'd go. There has to be something wrong here. He's accepted his brokenness. But I like the fact that Jesus loves him enough that Jesus isn't going to leave him where he's comfortable. He's become comfortable in his brokenness. All right? And Jesus could say, well, it looks like you got everything under control. You figured out how to survive and all of that. You smell kind of funky, but, you know, other than that, you know, God bless you. I'll be on my way. I thank you that even though he came back with excuses of why he's there, okay, that's another thing. People that are broken have excuses why they're broken, why they can't do this, all right? And he came back with excuses, but Jesus said to him, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. Jesus didn't argue with him. Jesus didn't rationalize with, that's a pretty good excuse. No one helps you at all, huh? Well, I guess if that's the way life is, I guess, you know, you're stuck here for the rest of your days. Jesus didn't accept his excuse. Jesus said, if you want to do something about it, do it. Stand up, take up your mat, and walk. And you'll notice that in Jesus' miracles, I find it so interesting, that in Jesus' miracles, all except the ones where he's raising somebody from the dead, because it's kind of hard to expect a a response from somebody who's dead other than for them to come back to life. But in all of them, it required an action. All right? Jesus talks to the blind man. Okay, what do you see? I can't see. Well, let me rub some mud in your eyes. Now what do you see? Well, I see people walking around like trees. All right? Jesus says, okay, let me rub some more mud in your eyes. Now what do you see? And you see a response. People are accepting their healing. And so Jesus said to this guy, okay, stand up, take your mat, and walk. He didn't say, be healed, stand up and walk. Because this, if you remember, this discussion is all about healing. I want to get healed. I want to, you know, be the first to step into this pool after the water is disturbed, and I'll get healed. And the man was so focused that he had to have his healing that he wasn't focused on anything else. That's something else that broken people do. They get focused on where they're at instead of where they want to be. Amen? And so, oops. The microphone is going south on me here, and I can get this back here. All right. So Jesus says, stand up, take your mat, and walk. Didn't say he was healed. He says, stand up, take your mat, and walk. I am standing here this morning, I truly believe with all my heart, had that man just sat there, he would not have been healed. If he would have just been laying there on that mat, and even though Jesus, stand up, pick up your mat and walk, if he hadn't responded, he wouldn't have received his healing. And so he had a faith response. Why should he try? He's been trying for 38 years. But Jesus is saying, do this. And in obedience, yeah, okay. And he does. And he stands up. And you've got to, okay, can you imagine the effect that that had on this man? I'm sure Jesus is just grinning from ear to ear because he's been doing this all up and down Israel, you know, healing people, and people are just, you know, just dancing jigs and everything else. So Jesus is there with a big smile on his face. The guy stands up, and I want you to know it was not, golly be, look at that. I'm standing. Haven't been able to do that for 38 years. No, I tell you what I would do if I'd been crippled for 38 years. I'd be dancing a jig. I'd be seeing how high I could jump. I would be seeing how fast I could run. I would be running back and forth like a 3-year-old in a candy store. Just zip, 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 all right? Because, wow. And I just have to believe that this man was excited. He got up. I'm up. Okay, Jesus said, what did he tell me to do? He said, stand up. I'm standing up. Oh, yeah. Pick up your mat and walk. And he grabbed that stinky, old, smelly mat. Man, I would have thrown a match on that mat. Ooh, away from me and just take off. Amen. But he picked up his mat, and he walked. I really don't think he was walking. I think it was kind of a little skip. All right? Maybe a little, you know, jump up and click your sandals together or whatever it was. He'd been this way for 38 years, and now Jesus has set him free. Amen? And so he had been there for 38 years. Now, on this side of it, why? Why was he there for 38 years? Because he didn't know it, but he was waiting for Jesus to come. Amen? That's just like the disciples said. Who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it his parents that sinned, and so the punishment is that their son is born blind? Or did he, as a, you know, a baby, newborn baby, think something bad, and so you struck him blind? You know, so Jewish people had this idea of God where bad things happen to bad people. All right? And the church is like that today. Bad things happen to bad people. When Carrie was first having her health problems, We were told by so many good church people, you guys must have some pretty awesome secret sin in your life, because God wouldn't be punishing you like this if you didn't have this secret sin. Oh, don't you love Christians? They're just so full of love and mercy and all that stuff. Yes, indeed. And poor Terry and I, you know, we've been going through this for so long that I can remember us sitting there on the bed, and we did. We confessed every sin. Time I smacked my brother in the head with a padlock when we were 7 years old. Man, I'm confessing that to Jesus. We're confessing everything. Nothing's happening. Well, obviously, we have sinned but didn't know it. So we went through and we were saying, you know, Terry was begging for, you know, forgiveness for being a prostitute. And, oh, no, she never was that, but, you know, maybe she accidentally. We were making up sins to ask forgiveness for, because the church said, you are broken, you are receiving God's wrath because you've got sin in your life. Well, guess what? Sometimes you go through something for the glory of God. And that blind man, Jesus told his disciples, you bunch of Nimrods. He wasn't born blind because of his parents' sin. He wasn't born blind because of his sin. He was born blind for the glory of God. What do you mean the glory of God? Let me show you the glory of God. Be healed. And the guy is healed. Who got the glory? God. This man here, who got the glory? God. Amen? Sometimes God puts us in a position so that only He can receive the glory. Amen? And so during those times, number one, we've got to reject this idea that we're broken. We are not broken. God's kids are not broken. We are super conquerors in Christ Jesus, thus saith the Word of God. All right? There ain't a broken one in this room. We might be going through some problems, but we're not broken. And then we're saying, well, why isn't God? It's not why doesn't God. It's why hasn't He done it yet? Because I truly believe that God, when He sees His children, He does not want to leave us in the discomfort, the pain, the agony, or whatever it is that we're going through. But I do know that when He does reach down into our lives and He does something, that it's going to affect more than just the person who's praying or going through it. There's going to be a lot of people touched and blessed in that. Amen? And so I just want to close with, I've told you this story before about our friend Tony, who was swimming in the public pool, and the kid came and jumped on his neck, running in the pool, which you're not supposed to, and he dove into the pool and landed on Tony's neck and broke his neck. Tony just said, man, I was just swimming, all of a sudden everything went black. Next thing I knew, I was strapped to a backboard. And they were putting me in the ambulance going to the hospital. And we got the telephone call. Tony's got a broken neck. Meet us at, which hospital was it? Anyhow, meet us at Cy Fair Hospital. And so we rush over to Cy Fair Hospital. And they took x-rays of Tony's neck. And Tony had a broken neck. It was broke. You could see it. A three-year-old could look at that. And the church went to praying. Got on the phone. We called people. Went to praying. And somebody said, we need to call for an orthopedic specialist to come in here because we don't want some ER doc dealing with a broken neck like this. And we're over here praying. And so the orthopedic specialist comes in. And he says, well, I need fresh x-rays. And the guy comes walking out. He's got this big old smile on his face. He said, there's nothing wrong with your friend. Not a thing. Look, here's the x-rays. Now, here's an old break. His neck was broken. You must have remembered this because this is a traumatic injury. But it's so healed up now, it has to be years and years ago that this happened. Tony's saying, nope, don't remember getting my neck broke before. How many of you remember if you got your neck broken? It's usually something that you don't. That's right, back in 86. Broke my neck. No, know, it's something that you remember. And here we have the photographic x-ray evidence, that thing that was broken, so broken a three-year-old could spot it, was now perfectly healed. Aligned, put back where it was supposed to be aligned because it was impinging against the spinal cord, put back where it was supposed to be, and completely healed up. Now, you will never, ever, ever be able to convince me that God doesn't answer prayer. You will never, ever, ever be able to convince me that God doesn't heal today. He does. He may not do it in my time. He may not do it the way that I want it done. But He doesn't have broken kids. You are not broken. Amen?